Bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be here with you and worship the Lord together. Sunday School Hour has given a good introduction to the message this morning. The story is told, and I'm not sure where, I think I read it somewhere, of the little boys that were. You know how little boys are, they like to, one tells a story and says something, the next one tries to go one better, and then the next one better. And sometimes maybe adults are like that too, but the little boys, one time they were talking about who their dads knew. One little boy said, well, his dad knows the minister in the church. The second little boy, his dad knows the town mayor. And the third little boy, well, his dad knows the prime minister. And the last, and it was the last little boy, I'm not sure how many there was, but he said, well, his dad knows God. And that's where the conversation ended. Couldn't go any higher. I want to think this morning about maintaining a relationship with God. And relationships were mentioned several times already this morning. Something that we all enjoy is good relationships. I think we've all enjoyed that. The satisfaction, security, and the enjoyment and the spiritual edification of a good relationship. Probably we've all experienced too the loss or the disappointment or the bitterness of a broken relationship. When someone that we counted on and trusted in, we realize they let us down. That's a painful experience. Good relationships. I think every good relationship faces its challenges. And I think if that's responded to and related to properly, it can end up being a strengthening to that relationship. But I think through history, or if we look at our current time today, I think we would say, and our Bibles would tell us, that it's going to be worse in the end times, especially as we think of a relationship with God, but I think relationships in general. There's a few reasons for that. It says in 2 Timothy that in the end, one of the marks of the end times will be that men will be lovers of their own selves. That's hard on relationships. We talked about pride this morning. Love of self. It's hard on relationships. Destroys them. Another reason maybe that we struggle with relationships in our day is secular sources would tell us and our own observations would reveal that the technology age has done much to destroy and cheapen interpersonal relationships. We have the term virtual relationships, where people develop relationships through technology, and yet, how much of a relationship is it? And if something happens, they can drop that person, and relationships are cheapened. Another reason I think that we are challenged in maintaining good relationships is because we live in a society of disposable things. Everything from paper plates to marriage partners is replaceable. That's our society. And it's had an effect on relationships, for sure. It's the contradiction of our times. Much is said about relationships. You can take courses and seminars to build communication skills and relate to people well, yet in a self-loving, pleasure-driven world, relationships suffer. And it's true that some relationships perhaps we can let go at times and maybe need to let them go, but some we need to guard with all our efforts. Certainly our relationship with God, which is what we want to focus on this morning. That's finally, you know, where it all comes down to. It's not who we know or how long or other strategic connections somewhere else. the question for us this morning and finally the bottom line is, what is our relationship with God? What is our relationship with God? I mentioned that we all enjoy, know the satisfaction of a good relationship, someone that we can talk heart to heart with, and we enjoy that. It gives us security, you know, in a good marriage relationship. Both partners find security in that, and a stability. What are we finding in our relationship with God? Can I talk heart to heart with God? Am I secure in my relationship with God? You know, the stresses of life, I can always fall back in my relationship with God and find a solace there. And so it's important that we think about maintaining a relationship with God. Another reason we need to do that is because I think we realize this morning that we will not spend eternity with a God that we have little or no connection to today in life. If we have the hope of heaven in our heart this morning, that is only because we have a relationship with God. And so what kind of a value do we put on that? What are we willing to put into our relationship with God? That's a question that, to me personally, is a real challenge. What am I willing to put into my relationship with God? 10-minute Bible reading, most days. A quick prayer. Coming to church. I mean, those, all those things are good, but I think we need to, it's good for us to think through sometimes, what am I willing to put into my relationship with God? Sometimes the best way to determine that is to ask ourselves a question, how easily do I push that aside? And sometimes when we think about it from that angle, we realize that our relationship with God just isn't as deep as it should be. To what length are we willing to go to protect and maintain and build and deepen and expand our friendship, our closeness, and our fellowship with God? Yes, God. God. We're talking about God this morning, not another person. We're talking about Almighty God. It's humbling to think that we could even have a relationship with God. You can turn to Acts chapter 7. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians. Just two verses. We need to understand what God, what relationship God wants to have with us. Acts chapter 7, verse, or 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 says this, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That father-son, father-daughter, parent-child relationship helps us to understand the relationship that God wants to have with us. You know, you picture a small child. Whenever he's hurt, whenever he's scared, whenever he wants something, he goes to his parent, and he looks up at them, and he asks if he can have this. Or he tells them what his problem is. And he trusts them implicitly that they'll meet his need somehow. They don't doubt that. Mom can fix their hurt. Dad can give them what they need. They just don't doubt that. Is that the kind of relationship we have with God this morning, that we can go to him and fall before him and look up into the face of God and trust implicitly that he will meet our need? Without a doubt. And that God is willing to do that, says, "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." It's humbling. Now, Acts chapter 7. You know, it really is a miracle that man can have a relationship with God, considering who God is. Acts chapter 7, verse 48 says this, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?" That's in the context of verse 47, where it says Solomon built him an house. But it says here that God is, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's too big for that. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool. What can we do for God? It's a thought. Another passage in 1 Kings chapter 8. Just looking a little bit at the greatness of God and our unworthiness to have a relationship with him. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 26. This is in the context here is immediately after Solomon had finished building the temple, and they were having the dedication of the temple here. And this is breaking into Solomon's prayer in verse 26, 1 Kings chapter 8. And now, O God of Israel, let thy words, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Seems to be a question that Solomon had. Maybe he looked at this temple he had built and then he thought of the greatness of God. Maybe he was second-guessing himself a bit. Will this really suffice? But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Solomon was pleading with God to hear their prayer and to come place his presence among them, I think recognizing their unworthiness. Now, was God pleased to answer that prayer? The sequel to this passage we have in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It gives some details there that this account doesn't. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 says how the Lord responded to that. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That was the Lord's response to his people's request to come among them and to dwell among them. His glory came and filled the house. And the people fell on their faces and worshipped, and certainly that was a fitting response. We see here that God called out Israel to be a people for himself. We see the desire of God here that when his people requested his presence to be among them, it was a prayer that God was pleased to answer. And if we desire to have a relationship with God this morning, we request his presence to come and dwell among us, even within us. If we pray that in sincerity, it's a prayer that God is pleased to answer. Will God indeed dwell with men? Yes, he will. God had called out Israel here to be a people for himself, to place his name there. He led them and he fed them and he cared for them and he brought them forth out of the bondage of Egypt and set them aside to be a people for himself. The New Testament church today is the fulfillment of that. We are the people called out. God has brought us out of the captivity of sin and set us apart to be a people for himself, and his desire is to place his name here and to have a relationship with us and us with him. Yet there's another aspect to that. God does not just relate to a people collectively. He does that. And yet he's a personal God. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, it's a verse that helps us to see that aspect. It says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." You see there that Moses had a relationship with God. And God had a relationship with Moses. And they knew each other. They understood each other. They confided in each other. When Israel was rebelling against Moses there in the wilderness and Moses was distraught, it says he went out and he fell on his face before the Lord. They communicated on a personal level. Another example of that is in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The friend of God. And the scriptures give many, many other examples. Won't take the time to turn to any of them, but we could think of Jacob. When he was on the run from his brother Esau, a young man, distraught, he was in a tough place in his life, for sure. Fleeing for his life, and he laid down in the dark there under the stars one night and laid his head upon the stones for a pillow, and he went to sleep. All alone, says that the Lord appeared unto him there. And God came and he spoke to him. Why? Because he saw the young man there. And he understood that he was at a difficult spot in life. And God came and he related to him in a personal way. You think of Hagar. She was wandering in the wilderness with her young son, her infant son. She ran out of water and she was sure her son was going to die. And she said, "I can't bear to see him die," putting it in my own words. She put him under a bush and she went a little ways off so that she didn't have to watch. She sat down there and God came and he called her by name. He said, "Hagar." He's a personal God. Moses, when he was in the wilderness, he saw the bush that was burning and was not consumed, and he drew near to see what was happening. And God called him unto him from that bush and he said, "Moses, Moses." David was a man after God's own heart. And I've often wondered how did that come to be, that David was a man after God's own heart. How was God's own testimony? Obviously, they had a relationship, God and David. David spent a lot of time alone with the sheep. If we read through the book of Psalms, I think we understand how David developed that relationship with God. It didn't happen overnight, as good relationships are. They're never developed quickly. Read through the book of Psalms. How did David develop that relationship with God? Well, he saw God in nature. He acknowledged God. He spent a lot of time alone. He meditated. He talked to God. He communed with God. He trusted God in the challenges that he faced and in defeating foes. He had a relationship. Seeing that God sees individuals. And not only does he see them, he wants to have a personal relationship with every individual. And I repeat, every individual. There is no one whom God misses. And that's a personal challenge for us this morning, that if I don't have a relationship with God, it's not for lack of desire on God's part. And we need to understand that. A few thoughts about relationships and how they work. And I'm not an expert on relationships. There's a few things. We understand that relationships are different and built differently with different individuals. There's a lot of factors that influence relationships. It can be age, it can be responsibility, it could be authority, and so on. There's many lessons to be learned from interpersonal relationships that we can apply spiritually. And I think many times relationships are adversely affected because of misunderstandings of what constitutes a good relationship. One example of that would be perhaps the teacher, how different relationships would work. A teacher-student relationship will be different than a student-to-student relationship. We understand that. And it must be different. A parent-child relationship will differ from a sibling-to-sibling relationship, and we understand that. A church leader-to-young-person relationship will differ somewhat from a church leader-to-church leader relationship. There's many similarities, but there is, by necessity, some differences. And I think we realize also that the wise teacher, the wise parent, will recognize this and exercise their authority in building a good relationship. It must be this way. Sometimes parents make the mistake of thinking that they'll have them and their child or them and their youth will relate as equals. And they never establish their authority, and that comes back to them. Authority. A wise parent will establish their authority, command obedience from their children, and that provides the basis of a good relationship. And there's lots of applications of that in life. Authority must demand and command respect and obedience as the basis upon which to build a relationship. And our society doesn't understand that. You let children express themselves, you stay out of their way, and don't displease them. Provides no basis for a lasting relationship. Another principle that we see is that good relationships are conditional. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. There's a condition there. We could ask the question, why do relationships fail? Our title this morning is Maintaining a Relationship with God. Thinking about maintenance, you know, maintenance, whether it's on a machine or something, it's something that's easy to overlook. I think one of the reasons for that is because it seems so simple and so basic that we don't see the importance of it. Another reason why we neglect maintenance is because the effect of neglected maintenance is not immediately seen. We can skip an oil change, and the motor in the vehicle or the machine won't go right away, but we do that enough times, and it will. We can skip greasing the machine a few times, and we don't see the effect immediately, but if we do that long enough, the effect will become obvious. There's some lessons to be learned from that. We want to think about maintaining a relationship with God. Now, finally, the most important thing, maintaining a relationship with God. How do we maintain a relationship with God? I have just a few points here. One, I think, one of the basics for maintaining a relationship with God, and most of these I've touched on already, I'm coming back to them, recognize that God has a personal interest in me. And that God desires to have a relationship with me. We can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that God is, sure, yes, He's a high and a holy and an almighty God, and we can sometimes view Him as a God that's waiting for me to make a mistake, and then judgment is upon me. That's not the God that we serve this morning. Yes, He is a God of judgment, but He has an interest in me. We need to remember that. In the upward struggle of the Christian life, especially in the midst of disappointments, failures, We can forget that at times, that God is there and God cares. And He's there for me. And He's still a God that calls names. And in the midst of my failure, in the midst of my disappointment, in the midst of my trial, God is there and He has my name. He's a personal God. He's not a God afar off. He's a God close at hand. He's a God that desires fellowship with us. Secondly, maintaining relationship with God, we need to realize that our relationship with God is built upon our recognition of Him as Lord. As Lord. You know, thinking back to the parent-child relationship, the child that has the best relationship with his parents is one who recognizes that his parent is a parent and has authority and recognizes that he needs to obey. Dad is dad. What dad says, I need to obey, and as long as he obeys that, he has a good relationship with his dad, or she does, and with both their parents. When they start to challenge that, and push back at that, the relationship deteriorates. And the same with, we could say conversely, the parent that doesn't require obedience of his children, it's hard for that parent to maintain a good relationship with their child. It's the same in our relationship with God. We recognize God is God. He holds all power, all authority. He's over me. He's high, He's holy. To whom shall I be equal, saith the Lord? And we know the answer to that question. There is no equal. Among men, there is no equal to God, and certainly not us. We need to see God as God. We don't have a buddy-buddy relationship with God. The Scripture says, stand in awe and sin not. We recognize Him as Lord. We recognize that before Him, while yes, we have a relationship with God and He does a lot for us, we're unworthy. Fear God and keep His commandments, the Scripture says. It seems contradictory, but we need to understand this principle, that a lack of fear of God is the start of a breakdown of a meaningful relationship with God. You think about that. Struggling, if we're struggling in our relationship with God, there's a bit of rebellion, maybe a bit of a pride, and we're pushing back against God's will. Why do we do that? It's because we don't fear God like we should. And a lack of fear of God is the start of a breakdown of a meaningful relationship with God. Another point, thirdly, I need to realize that my relationship with God is conditional. I mentioned this verse already, fear God and keep His commandments, Scripture says. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Saying, in other words, that if you don't keep my commandments, you don't really love me. And that's the ruin of a relationship. Christ also said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Lack of obedience or anything short of complete obedience undermines my relationship with Christ. And the professing Christian world does not understand this concept. Or not fully, I don't think. I hope we do. I think we do. That the only way to have a meaningful and deep relationship with Jesus Christ is to obey Him implicitly in every area. Christ also said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If we want to follow Christ, walk with Him, talk with Him, commune with Him, means cross-bearing, means discipleship, means that the flesh needs to die so that our relationship with Jesus Christ can blossom and flourish. It's the It's the seeming contradiction, and yet it's the way it needs to be. Some of the strongest relationships among humans ever have been built by some incredibly hard experiences that they've shared. That's produced some of the strongest, deepest relationships between humans. They've just been through so much together. They understand each other in a way that no one else can because of what they've been through together. Brothers and sisters and friends, this morning, we've died with Christ. We've agonized with Him in Gethsemane. We've wrestled with God's will and submitted and went to the cross with Christ and died. Our relationship with God is built on this. We've been through so much with Christ. We've died with Him. If this has not happened, our relationship with God is shallow and weak. A breakdown in our relationship with God can be traced back to this. Something is now not dead that needs to be dead. The depth of our relationship with Jesus Christ is founded in our death with Him at Calvary. When that death experience is not part of us anymore, and the flesh is not dead and it's coming to life again, our relationship with Jesus Christ will deteriorate as the flesh rises up. The two go hand in hand. Fourthly, my relationship with God must be actively maintained. I want to think about this a bit, this thought of maintaining. My relationship with God must be actively maintained. I've seen it happen, and so have you, and maybe we've experienced this, where we lose our relationship with God. It's happened to many an individual where they've lost out in their relationship with the Lord. And yet they never really wanted it to be that way. Maybe you're wondering what I mean. I would use this illustration. It's a little bit like a piece of equipment. We don't deliberately wreck it. If it has a major component failure, we fix it. We keep it running. But we don't spend the time to maintain it. We don't change the worn hoses. We don't fix the broken grease lines. The broken light or two, but it still has some. We can keep running it, so we don't fix them. The pins and bushings are loose. We don't change the oil when we should. But it's still running. It's still working. But there's lots of downtime for this little thing or that little thing. There's always some little thing wrong, and work stops. It's just so hard to keep it running anymore. And we look at it, and we can't put our finger on any one thing that if I fix this, it'll be fine. So finally it gets to the point where it's too much trouble to keep it going, and we park it. We abandon it. We give up on it. It's just too hard to keep it going anymore. And we take stock of the situation. We figure out what all it would cost to make a good machine out of this again. And we realize that the cost to fix it is more than what it's worth, and so we abandon it. So it is, or so it has been, with many relationships with the Lord that have failed. Wasn't the desire of the individual, wasn't their intent. They never wanted it to be that way. But one little thing slips, and another little thing slips, And one thing leads to another, and after a while, they realize that it's not working anymore. My relationship with God is failing. It's broken. And so they look at it and they try to decide, what's wrong with this? What do I need to fix? And they have trouble putting their finger on any one thing, that if I fix this, it'll be fine. My relationship with God will be restored. And they get discouraged and they decide it's not worth it, and they abandon it. Or maybe they identify one problem or two and they try and fix that. It goes better for a while, but after a while it falters again. And they cast it aside. We say it's not worth it. I've heard individuals say that. It's just not worth it. I tried several times and it just doesn't work. So they abandon it. It's just like the old machine that's parked off to the side. They abandon their relationship with God. Again, it's not what they wanted. They never wanted to be there. And they don't even really understand how they got there. And they don't like it, perhaps. They don't like that this is how it is. It bothers them. You know, those are difficult situations. We ask the question, what's the answer? And there is no easy answers. A broken relationship with God is not easy to fix. But we can. I have just a few thoughts on that. Mending a broken relationship with God. How do we go about that? How do we, if this is our experience, how do we get that back again? Well, number one, I think we need to understand the value of our relationship with God. It's not like that old machine where the cost of repair is going to exceed the value when we're done. A relationship with God is not at all like that. The cost of what it takes to maintain and mend our relationship with God will never exceed the value of what it's really worth. Never. It's worth it. And when we say, or when someone else says about their relationship with God, finally, it's not worth it. That's not true. That's not true. Secondly, we need to realize once again that God has and still has a personal interest in my dilemma. If my lost relationship with God is troubling me, I need to be assured that it's troubling God too. And God wants to work with us, to work with me and to work with you to help get that back. You know, if we fail to maintain a piece of equipment and it's wrecked, it's probably nobody's fault but our own. You know, in interpersonal relationships here in this life, when a relationship breaks down, the fault is almost always two-sided. You can almost never lay the blame solely on one individual. But in our relationship with God, if that relationship is broken and if it's faltering, the fault is never on God's part. We can never take part of that blame and put on Him. The fault is on our side entirely. But God is there to help. And He has an interest in helping us mend that relationship. That's the mercy and the grace of God, that while it's all our fault for where we are, if we make one move towards God, God will make two toward us. That's the heart of God. Thirdly, how do we mend a broken relationship with God? It's repentance. I know that these are basic, so basic, and yet I think sometimes that's where maybe we miss it. We look for the answer to this problem that seems so complicated, and we look for a complicated solution when it's really very simple. Repent. You know, if we think back to our relationship with God and the relationship that we once had, what was the start of that? Well, it was repentance. Maybe for some of us, we think back only a year or two. Maybe for some of us, we think back many years to where we began our walk with God, and the start of it was repentance. And it needs to be ongoing. My relationship with God is founded upon my recognition of Him as Lord. And when that relationship is broken, it means that somewhere something has taken a bigger place in my life than God has. We need to identify this. What is it? What was it? We know that the root cause for that is pride. We looked at that. We need to identify it and repent of it. And it's not a once and done thing. Correct it. Put God first. Wherever we see something coming into my life that is going to stand between me and God, we need to repent of that. Fourthly, how do I mend my relationship with God? I need to realize anew that my relationship with God is conditional, that I need to obey. Where I see a need, a breakdown, I must have a willingness to correct it. And sometimes when we're trying to restore our relationship with God, we come to a point where we identify a need and we know that this is part of my problem. And where we identify that, we need to take steps to correct it. If not, no further progress will be made in maintaining that relationship. Maybe I'm oversimplifying that. It's not easy, and yet I really believe it's not complicated. Relationship with God, maintaining and building a relationship with God in closing takes a lot of effort. It takes perseverance. It takes determination. A lot of determination and a lot of perseverance. Day after day after day, just doing what we know is right, whether we feel like it or not. It takes Bible reading. So much more that could be said. It takes Bible reading and prayer. A lot of it. Probably all of us. There's probably not one of us here this morning that could not improve our relationship with God by spending more time in prayer and Bible study. It takes confession. It takes repentance. It takes humility. It takes brokenness. We also need to understand that it's easier to maintain a relationship than to regain it. That's probably one of the underlying principles in building and maintaining relationships is maintenance. As difficult as it may be at times to maintain a relationship, it's always easier to maintain it than to regain it after we've lost it. In closing, I'd like to read again these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There we have the condition and the promise. God is saying, come out, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. That's the condition. And then the promise is, I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's the promise of God, and that's the relationship that God desires to have with us, that we would be His sons and daughters. Relating, having that kind of a parent-child relationship, that closeness of a relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. God desires that, and I trust we do as well. Let's leave no stone unturned in our pursuit of that meaningful relationship with God. Let's kneel for prayer.